ABC Radio Australia.
New Zealand is sending another contingent of 50 military and police to Solomon Islands this weekend to help maintain the peace in the capital, Honiara. The deployment announced earlier this week will join an initial group of 15 peacekeepers who arrived from New Zealand yesterday. Now, forces already on the ground from Australia, Papua New Guinea and Fiji are also assisting Solomon Islands police. And I'm joined now by former New Zealand Prime Minister Helen Clark, who led the country when it helped form RAMSI, the Regional Assistance Mission to Solomon Islands back in 2003. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning.
Helen, how challenging is this going to be for New Zealand, given just how divided Solomon Islands appears to be right now?
Well, it is challenging, and it's been very challenging in Solomon Islands before with this extensive intercommunal violence, and we've seen the worst again play out in recent weeks. So I think what's really important is that the, quote, security, stabilisation support is not seen as a long-term thing. What the Solomon Islands desperately needs is development. It needs jobs for its young people. It needs opportunity. And one finds that at the bottom of these tensions are the grievances around that, and of course around other things like corruption and the manner of governance and so on. So I don't think we should be under any illusion that just sending stabilisation forces is going to deal with those issues. If it can give the Solomons a fresh chance to, come together in some kind of national dialogue to work out how to move forward, fine. But if we don't help Solomons develop that capacity, we're not going to get very far.
Given Australia, Papua New Guinea and Fiji were already in Solomon Islands, are you surprised that New Zealand didn't get called on to help out earlier?
Well, not necessarily, because New Zealand's focus has been more to the east of Solomon's, on Polynesia. But New Zealand's responded to the call before, and I'm sure is happy to be there now, given the gravity of the situation. But from where I sit, thinking back to the problems of close to two decades ago, and having been at UNDP, looking at things through an international development lens for all those years, I just hope that this is not a short-term hit-and-run by the neighbours in the Pacific, but rather a determination to support Solomons to have a fresh start and find a way forward.
And do you think that New Zealand is doing enough to help with that long-term development and assistance?
Well, New Zealand's aid budget, like the Australian one, is really pretty low. And I think that should be cause for reflection. The old story is a stitch in time saves nine. So the more you can invest into genuine development and opportunity and work with the Solomons on what their aspirations are and what they could be, then the less you're going to have to do by way of, as I say, hit and run missions for stabilisation. So I think for New Zealand and Australia, time to look at the quantum of the aid budget and just what more could be done for long-term success.
Now, along with those underlying sort of tensions where it stems from domestic issues like development and aid that is being given to the people, there has been a lot of debate in Solomon Islands over the diplomatic switch from Taiwan to China. How do you think a regional response can navigate that particular issue?
The reality is that most countries in the region and virtually all countries in the world, apart from a residual tiny number, recognise the People's Republic of China. But of course, where Taipei has been recognised in the past, this tends to set off sort of money politics competition. And that then fuels the corruption and fuels the tensions. Clearly, Malaita, has retained some kind of relationship with Taipei, and that's added to the tensions. I don't think, though, this is the primary issue. I think the primary issue is the underdevelopment, is the lack of opportunity. Look, you've got a very fast growing population in Solomons. 7 out of every 10 Solomon Islander is under 30 years of age. The youth unemployment is absolutely huge. Last time I was there, around 3-4 years ago, in the run-up to elections, when I was supporting women to run and be elected, which is pretty tough in the Solomons, I remember the Prime Minister saying to me then that one of the things that haunts him as he comes through Honiara is looking at the young people hanging around with nothing to do. That is a force for destabilization. Young people have talent, they want opportunity, and the question is where and how can that opportunity be found in the Solomons?
Now, Helen, you were leading New Zealand when it helped form RAMSI, and you recently said that you were concerned at the time that RAMSI might be an Iraq war lookalike. What did you mean by that, and do you have similar concerns over the current operation in Honiara?
Well, what I was concerned about was in the context of 2003, where foreign forces had gone into Iraq, was that we didn't want our local version of that in the South Pacific. And I was concerned, at the military and policing focus of it at the outset. I always felt that we needed to be supporting Solomons to stand on its own feet. And not to be heavy-handed about it. I think the New Zealand way has been to be more low-key and collegial in the Pacific. So I felt it was very important that the Solomon Islands itself have agency and that its people be brought to the fore and supported, capacitated. Those were my concerns then. And those would be my concerns now if this was to develop again into a long-term stabilisation mission. I mean, the last one stayed from 2003 to 2017. Here we are only 4 years later and we're back at the same problem. That tells me that the roots of this lie in underdevelopment, and that's what's got to be addressed.
Well, Helen Clark, thank you very much for joining me here on Pacific Beat this morning.
Thank you.
That was former New Zealand Prime Minister Helen Clark speaking with me here on Pacific Beat.